Hey, Jay, where are you at?
Hey, I'm right here. Where are you at?
I'm in New Orleans, but that's a colloquial expression we have here. It means kind of how are you? Not
Oh,
where you're at
right.
physically, but where you're at, in a kind of mental, spiritual context.
Yeah, well, that's a little bit more complex question to ask, isn't it?
I guess the third time is the charm here because this is three nights running we've been trying to have this conversation.
Yeah,
And
well,
moreover,
I've got like a whole slew of family in town, and we've been just having so much fun that it's been hard to find time to get on the phone.
well, I've been looking forward to hearing your excuses, but in the meantime, I thought, but before we got to that, I thought we should maybe have a nightcap.
I think that's a dandy idea.
So, what do you got lined up there?
Well, I was going to have a White Russian because we happen to have the ingredients for that here at the Nickel Castle, so I'm going to do that.
Dude, cool. So what goes into a light version anyway?
Well, last I looked, and admittedly, I haven't been studying, as you've pointed out a couple of times here now, I haven't been studying my bartending lately, but last I understood it's basically vodka, Kahlua, and some cream, although, in the spirit of my own incompetence, I didn't come up with any cream, so instead I'm going to be adding some whole milk.
Yeah, that'll do. I think. Unfortunately, I can't quite join you in a White Russian there because I don't have any vodka here, so I can't
Uh-huh.
make that exact drink. But I'm going to try to do a parallel kind of thing.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, you just don't take your bartending seriously, do you?
Well, I take it plenty seriously, and I've been thinking and cogitating on what I'm going to be able to whip up here, and I think I have something that might be halfway decent.
Gotcha.
So what I'm going to do while you're doing that, I am pushing some ice into this shaker. I'm going to add, I've got a little coffee liqueur. It's not Kahlua, but it's close.
Yeah.
I've got some coffee liqueur and some cream liqueur and some light rum.
Some who?
Rum.
Oh, rum. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought I would mix those together, like let's say two parts rum, one part coffee liqueur, one part cream liqueur, mix them together on ice there, and strain it into a glass. How does
Well,
that sound?
it sounds delicious. It sounds pseudo improvised.
No, I've been thinking about this.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
I think there's many a precedent for this. There's probably even a name for this, but I just don't know what it is.
Right. Yeah. The rum bugger. So yeah, I've kind of mixed this together, but one of the things that anything with a coffee liqueur in it, which because it's such a heavy, thick liquid, it requires more than just a little bit of jingling around in the glass. And in fact, I think that this calls for the rock's finger technique, which has not been pulled out in quite some time.
Do you still not have a decent swivel stick to your name?
No.
A shame.
Not
It
at all.
really is.
Well, actually,
That's
I think I've
ice
had
next.
one in the past, but we've come to, various points in our lives where we have to downsize in the kitchen, and that's one of those things that seems to disappear because I just don't have much call to use it. The rock's finger technique is so useful and effective, and what's more, unlike a shaker or a strainer, that kind of thing, you don't have to, consciously remember to carry it around with you, because hopefully your fingers are with you at all times. So with that in mind, I'm just going to stick my index finger down in here and stir.
Delightfully sanitary.
What's that? Sorry, I was holding the phone up to my finger.
No, that sounded great. I was just saying how delightfully sanitary.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, it does do a good job of sanitizing my finger, I think.
Yeah, probably. All right, so I look like I have something here in my glass that looks distinctly potable.
Yeah, this is some fine holiday beverage drinking, if I do say so.
These are some ancient liqueurs. I'm not sure how long we've had them. I think a couple of years. But they still seem to be holding up.
Holy crap.
Yeah, yeah, indeed.
Yeah, well, alcohol tends to stick around if you don't drink it.
Yes. So, Jay.
Yes, sir.
What on earth?
Are you talking?
Am I talking? Yes. Yes.
Suddenly, I'm hearing. It sounds like you've left the building.
Really?
I can kind of faintly hear you. Oh, there you are.
Well, that's strange. Yes, I'm here. It'll be interesting to hear on the recording. Well, who knows what that'll sound like. But anyway,
yeah.
What I was asking was, it sounds like you had kind of a... I apologize. We had a little technical glitch there. It seems my phone seems to be hanging up every time I try to put it back in its holster. So,
well, you know, those holsters are kind of geeky anyway, and you know, so you should avoid the use thereof on matters of principle.
I'm dumbfounded on how to reply to that. My clip is a necessity.
Wow.
My phone with me at all times.
Yeah, but how do you then talk on it?
I take it out of the clip. Sometimes, right now, for example, I've got a little, what do you call it, wired earbud thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that has a microphone on it. It's plugged into the phone, so I can put the phone, usually I can put the phone in the clip and walk around and talk at the same time. It's not quite as easy, or what do you, it's not quite as convenient, I guess, as a Bluetooth headset, you know, completely wireless.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cheap, you know, it came with the
phone. Yeah.
So anyway, that allows me to, for example, talk on the phone and mix a drink at the same time without too much fuss.
Gotcha.
So normally when I put the phone into the clip, the holster, it's fine. For some reason tonight, every time I do that, it hangs up, and that's what happened. But I swear that's not going to happen again, and I'm not going to put the phone in the clip.
So are you also like one of those people that carries like a really large keychain that with like a chain that hangs from your belt or something?
No. I don't do that. But
I don't know. I've just never been a person to have something dangling from my waist other than... Well, a pistol, but that's only when I'm out hunting.
You've never been a person to have things dangle from your waist.
No.
I see.
I mean, not from my belt line. I mean, there's certain things that dangle from my general waist region.
I'm sure there are.
Or one thing.
If we could get back to what we were talking about before we were so unfortunately disconnected. I was saying that you seem to have had a rather hectic holiday so far.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know,
what's going on out there?
In all the most positive ways, you know.
Positive from your perspective, maybe, but it's kind of chapped my ass a couple times.
Yeah. Well, I understand. You know. My mother came into town on Christmas Day.
What's
that?
She just dropped in unexpected.
No. She was fully expected.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She was flying in that day.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Right, on an airplane. And she came, and then my aunt and uncle came in that same day. And you know, the only sort of, well, you know, it wasn't even something that was unexpected or unpredictable. It was something that I hadn't thought about beforehand. Was that, you know, our house would become sort of, you know, ground zero for this family, for this family gathering.
Yes.
Which is really great. I love hosting people. We kind of built this house that we live in around a program that was fundamentally about hosting and having space that's good for having people over. So
yeah,
it's wonderful. But, you know, if you don't... think far enough ahead, i.e., you know, more than 15 minutes or so, then you know it can kind of sneak up on you that, oh, you know, I should probably have extra sodas and finger food and snacks and stuff. You know, we had some cookies. But you know, not a whole lot of stuff. And so anyway, we've been playing games and having a whole lot of fun.
So this is why a couple nights ago you did not make our scheduled telephone conversational date.
Correct. Yeah.
And then last night there was also some confusion. So I'm not sure you probably haven't even heard it and probably aren't even aware of it, but I did record a nightcap number 4, in fact.
Oh, wow.
All by myself.
Wow.
And let me tell you what a sad, pathetic conversation that was.
Really?
Well, of course, because it's not a conversation at all. It's just a
story. Oh, yeah. I probably didn't have much to say, did I?
Unfortunately not. You know, anybody who might happen for some twisted reason to listen to any of these conversations would probably know that you know, you're capable, more than capable, of kind of carrying your half of the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Or two-thirds or...
Yeah, or whatever. More. So without you there, I really didn't even think that I would be able to pick up any time.
But how did it go?
It was a sad, pathetic time.
Excellent. I mean, that's terrible.
But I got to say a number of things that I probably don't, you know, wouldn't get to say, won't get to say tonight, just time won't allow.
So I was able
to explore in a little more depth a few of the themes that have emerged over the course of our conversations. And
like what?
At this time of year.
Well,
for example, I was making reference to the bonfire tradition here in Mid-City, Orleans Avenue. And I didn't quite make this connection, but I did mention, I mentioned the bonfire, and I mentioned going to the celebration in the Oaks, I think, which is a annual thing that they have here in City Park in New Orleans. It's basically you go to the botanical gardens and some other areas of the park there, and they've strewn up all kinds of festive lighting displays.
Uh-huh.
And you walk around in the dark and look at the lights. And that's basically it in a nutshell.
What does that have to do with oaks?
Well, the city park is full of oaks.
But it sounds like the lights are more the point than the trees. The trees would almost get in the way, wouldn't they?
Well, I mean, I think they originally were hanging the lights from the trees. But anyway,
well,
celebration
this is how
in
we get
the Oaks.
The bottom of things.
Not celebration of the Oaks, celebration in the Oaks. But my point is that it struck me that there's a kind of similarity there between the bonfire and the celebration in the Oaks.
Mm-hmm.
Both happening around the same time of year, and they both involve kind of going out in the dark and looking at some kind of artificial light in the middle of the dark. And that seems to me very appropriate somehow to this whole time of year, you know, the solstice time of year when the days get as short as possible, the nights as long as possible, and then it starts to come back the other way.
Right, yeah.
So I think there's a deep psychological element at work here, a psycho-spiritual dynamic. And I think basically you can kind of gauge the profundity of it by the fact that this is something that our 10-month-old daughter could enjoy and that we could enjoy and that there are plenty of old folks walking around there, too, who could enjoy it. I mean, it was really something that kind of cuts across all ages, races, classes. Everybody
mm-hmm.
was there enjoying this, and I found that kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's really excellent. Fire and all forms of light, you know, kind of, they're good at drawing flies and moths also.
Well, that's one nice thing about winter in Louisiana is that there's a fewer mosquitoes and bugs flying around.
Right. So it's kind of ironic then, really, that they'd have this when the moths couldn't show up.
Well, I find it kind of ironic that, as you may remember, you probably don't, but last at the time of the summer solstice, 6 months ago, I was speculating that in this part of the world, the subtropics, where I'm located, that really the winter solstice, you know, less significant. It's the summer solstice that really it seemed like should be the prominent marking of the beginning and end of the year, because of the nature of the climate and everything. We don't really feel the threat of the cold months, and I believe that the you know, some part of me suspects that certainly a lot of the tradition that I know about comes from, you know, Northern Europe and whatnot, and the you know, winter there represents a real threat, and certainly where I grew up represents a real threat, and the idea that we're going to get through it somehow. I think that's what the winter solstice celebrations are all about, Christmas and all these other things.
Yeah.
It seemed to me that in this hot part of the world where I'm living now, that it kind of should be inverted, shouldn't it? I mean, it's not the winter that's the threat, it's the summer. It's like, oh my God, how are we going to survive this heat?
Yeah, well, that's probably true. Of course, you know, unfortunately, well, actually, unfortunately, I'm not sure what to say. I had some kind of theory going, and it was pretty much discounted even in my own brain before I even uttered it, so it must be bad.
I don't know. We can only speculate. The fact is that despite my mad ramblings, it seems that the winter solstice celebration is very prominent worldwide. In every culture, I believe, that has, you know.
But doesn't the whole, I mean, it seems to me that that at least the cultures that I'm familiar with look at cold as being sort of primordial and fire as being sort of the life force in a way. And so, you know, in the sense of that these celebrations around this time of year tend to be about beginnings and endings, which seem sort of a little bit more dramatic than just, hey, it's the middle, the height of our lives, you know. I don't know. Maybe I'm just making that up as I go along, but it seems to me that you know, the idea of life beginning to spring anew in spring and then flourish in the summer, only to die away again in the autumn and winter.
Well, there you go again with your temperate climate prejudices.
Well, yeah. You know,
what you're describing is the cycle of the seasons, the four seasons that, you know, I grew up with too, I'm intimately familiar with, that I understand. But we kind of have that here in the subtropics. But if I was living in the full-on tropics of the world, I really don't think that cycle would really make any sense. I mean, to say that, oh, the winter is the dead season, that doesn't really make sense. Instead, you got, I believe, in most parts of the tropics, like a dry season and a rainy season.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and here, it's not a cycle that that particularly makes a ton of sense here either, in the sense that, you know, things grow in the spring and then tend to actually die back in the middle of in the heat of summer because it gets super dry here and might not rain for a couple of months. And then things flourish again for a bit in the autumn, and then everything freezes. So it's just all fucked up.
Well, what do you make of that?
You know, I think that myths are made to be disproven.
You want to say it? You don't want to say broken? Myths are meant to be
broken. Broken, yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I enjoyed this little drink that I've had here, and I'm feeling the need to have just a little bit more.
Whoa.
Really a nightcap.
Yeah, yeah.
But, if you could bear with me for just a few minutes more.
Yeah, just don't put that damn phone in your holster thing.
No, sir. I'm just mixing a little rum and coffee liqueur together. And
it sounds tantalizing.
I'm sure. How was your White Russian?
Oh, it was good.
Oh, you drank it already?
Yeah.
Well, perhaps we should call an end to this.
I'm a quick study. Well, we could certainly do that. You know, we were setting up to play. My mother is here, actually, and so is my cousin, and we were setting up to play a round of Puerto Rico. Do you know this game at all?
I do not. Is it a card game?
No, it's just about the farthest thing from it. Not the farthest thing from it. It's fairly far from it. It's one of these German board games that came from Germany, no less.
It's a German board game from Germany. It's called
Yes. Exactly. And it's there are several great games that have made it across the Atlantic.
For example, Cards.
Right, exactly. Cards. More recently, though, games like Carcassonne. Yeah.
Backgammon.
Right. No, this is more. This is like the video games to those games.
No.
Or something. No, it's not at all.
Steroids.
No.
But it's the furthest thing from cards. Well, never mind that, because I have a more pertinent question.
Okay.
Before you go, if this is our last little podcast of the year, most likely.
Probably so.
So I thought we should spend just a brief moment, not a great length of time, but just to reflect on the year that's passed.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say are the three biggest things that happened in your life this past year?
Well, my dad died. That's the biggest.
That's pretty big.
And I went to China, which was
huge,
a really eye-opening experience, and great to have to share with our one-year-old and with my wife. And
right.
So that was awesome.
Those kind of happened at the same time.
Yeah, they happened pretty much exactly the same time. So that was a pretty heavy month of my life, for sure. And then beyond that, I'm not sure. You know,
this kind of pales, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, something that hopefully is, you know, good news for the future is that I'm still alive.
Yes, you are. You survived the year. Well, for my part, I just wanted to say that, it's clear looking back on the past year that the birth of our daughter
was the
biggest event. It kind of tends to overshadow almost everything else. But it's hard to remember. There were a few other things that happened during the year.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we finished our post-Katrina, post-flood renovation of our house and really kind of finished that and closed the book on that and got the whole house back into usability, into a livable state. That was great. And I guess the other thing I would say, maybe we evacuated for the first time, since Katrina, for Hurricane Gustav.
Yeah.
And ended up going all the way up to, we stopped in Tuscaloosa and visited Jenny Beasley, now Jenny Reef, and Herb,
mm-hmm.
Herb Reef, and their family. Anybody who's watched Rocks in the past would know, of course, who Jenny.
Yeah.
Jenny is.
I remember her.
She ended up going all the way up to Indiana and visiting the folks there, Christy's parents and my parents, and that was kind of unexpected. And that's why we're not, we're having a very mellow holiday, unlike you.
Yeah.
We've just stayed here in New Orleans and taken it easy. It's really just been me and Christy and Persephone, of course. And we've had a couple, visited with a couple friends, but it's been very low-key, very chilled out, laid back, mellow, completely unlike what you're experiencing there.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
Well, and we only have more to come in that regard, and I suppose that I should bring this up now so that it doesn't become an issue later in the week. On Wednesday, around midday, we will depart Missoula and drive about 2.5 hours east of here to a place called Anaconda, which is famous mostly for this big smokestack that's there. It's like the tallest freestanding brick structure in the world or something like that.
That's awesome.
And then we will go past that thing without even stopping and drive up this mountain until we are far from any cell phone range or any such human contact. And we will be staying at a cabin with my mom and aunt and uncle and my cousin and several other people. And we will be staying there until Sunday, you know, so ringing in the new year as far from humanity as we can get without, you know, going somewhere else.
And, of course, I believe what you're driving at there, besides the fact that that's all very interesting, is that we won't be able to record a podcast because you won't
I'm thinking not. Unless you want to fly out and come up there.
I would love to, but you're saying that you you'll take your cell phone with you, but by the time you get to the cabin, it won't work.
It might, and if it does, I'll definitely get in touch.
All right. Well,
but last time we were up there a year ago, there was no service.
All right. If it does, text me. And
yes.
I think that would be a fantastic place to do a podcast from.
Absolutely.
But, you know, on the other hand, it's also a fantastic notion that there are still places within, you know, the kind of drive that you're describing where you can go and escape from the grid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There are places within 20 miles of my house where I can get away from cell phone service, which is kind of unfortunate, you know, when you want to use your cell phone. But
only then.
What's that?
But only then.
Yeah, exactly. And the rest of the time, it feels really good.
Well, that would be an interesting topic for future discussion. But it sounds to me like when next we speak, it will be 2009.
Yes.
One way or the other. So whenever that occurs, we will be in the, well, really, you know, the last year of this horrible decade.
Yeah.
And
probably of our lives.
Yeah, and looking very close to the next decade, the teens or whatever.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's something to think about.
Exactly.
It's been a pleasure speaking with you, as always.
You as well.
I'm going
and
to press
tell
a little
Christy and Persephone I said hello and Happy New Year and Christmas.
Yeah, well, and you should also say happy birthday because guess whose birthday is in just about an hour and 15 minutes.
That's right.
And guess what birthday it is?
Big 4-0.
XL. That's right.
XL.
XYXL.
That's so awesome.
Yes, it is awesome. And, you know, we plan to celebrate in a very mild and, what do you call it?
40-something appropriate.
Yes, we'll do many appropriate things.
Yeah.
All right, well,
excellent.
It's been a pleasure.
Yes, you too.
Talk to you later, man.
All righty. Bye-bye.